This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome, my friends. I'm just trying to get the date lined up in here. We're getting towards May, and there's a saying on Wall Street, sell in May, go away. Buy when it snows, sell when it goes. There's two phrases. Don Velo, he's a seasonal investor. He's a frequent guest on Hi-Fi Radio. He is the president of the Canadian Society, or former, past president of the Canadian Society of Technical Analysts. Him and I used to work together at one of those big brokerage firms on Bay Street. And I continue to follow his work ever since that. Don Velo, welcome, my friend. And thank you for spending some time with us this Saturday night. The May is upon us, my good friend. Where in the world do you think the market goes? It's been a challenging couple of weeks. And I will say, Don, just to help set the table, last week I began to see breaks in the market. Stocks began breaking their 50-day moving averages. You were confirming it. I'd see it during the day. I'd sell stock. You'd confirm it at night with your report. I'm out of Amazon. I'm out of Meta. I'm out of NVIDIA. We sold ASML. We sold AMD a long time ago. We sold tech down, Don. And you know what we bought? Campbell's Soup, Clorox, Colgate, General Mills, Pepsi. That stuff is pointing higher. Oil doesn't look so bad. But beyond that, there is industrials have given back some ground. So, Don, there's a lot going on. And I'm seeing major rotation. I'm also seeing signs of a slowing economy, higher inflation. Jack, the word you used this week about stagflation was confirmed by our bond desk. A-plus to you on your economics quiz. But, Don, over to you, my friend. I set the table. Please dig in.
Yeah, thanks, Will, for inviting me. You're on the right track. You mentioned that there are certain stocks that have a history of not doing too well in the summer period. And that's certainly true for the U.S. market. On average, from the beginning of May right through until the beginning of October, the S&P 500 has actually gone nowhere for the last 20 years. That's on average.
Yeah. But
remember, that's an average. The period of seasonal weakness or peaking tends to vary slightly each year. This year, the period of seasonal weakness actually started occurring right around the beginning of April
when
you were selling a lot of your technology stocks.
Began. We did the bulk of a lot of it last week, Don. I waited for confirmation in the charts. I didn't want to preemptive. I sold Elf Beauty preemptively. It broke its first moving average. I took it off the table, and that was good. But the charts don't lie. And again, Don, you know, it's funny because some managers must stay long stock. They cannot sit in cash. They're forced to stay in stock based on prospectus, based on mandate, based on their job description. And as such, this rotation is taking place, i.e. Campbell's Soup, good. It's working.
Well, the interesting thing is that you're right. There are certain things which do very well in the summertime. You mentioned the consumer staple sector. Another one to mention is the healthcare sector. And often these sectors that do well in the summertime do it for a specific reason. A good example is if you look at the healthcare sector, historically the healthcare stocks, and particularly the biotech stocks, have moved higher in the month of May right through until the beginning of June.
Really? John, I want to interrupt you there because I saw Amgen showing some strength. Biogen showed a bit of a turn this week, but the big pharma not working. So biotech worthy of some more work, you're telling me, from a seasonal point of view.
Yeah, what happens is the first week in June, there's this huge conference in Chicago. It's one on looks at cancer.
Oncology, yeah.
And what happens is a lot of these companies, particularly in the biotech area, report their findings and new discoveries at that particular conference. And so guess what? In the month of May, the biotech stocks and many of the healthcare stocks related to technology start to go higher right through until at least the first week in June. So it's a really good, excellent seasonal trade.
You know, it's interesting, John, I wasn't even thinking seasonal. I was just paying attention to what the market was telling me, not even thinking. I'm trying to think less because when I think, I get myself into trouble. When I pay attention and respect the signals, I tend to do a little better. In fact, quite a bit better. So I don't want to fight the tape and have, like, I don't like Campbell's soup. Okay. I'm a culinary guy. So, you know, I've gotten my certificate from George Brown. They taught us how to make real soup. So tin cans isn't my thing, but I've got to respect the charts and respect the business that it is. Orville Redenbacher, Cargill, Cargill bought some of that stock, 11 times earnings, zero growth, 4.5 dividend. The market wants it right
Conagra,
now.
Conagra, Wolf.
Conagra, thank you.
Cargill is the food
private
processor. Yeah.
Food processor. And then, private. Of course, it's private equity. Yes. You're right. It's CAG, COG.
So what I will say, Wolf, is that the seasonality is lining up with the economic cycle, right? Interest rates have been higher for longer, right? You're seeing money rotate out of offense and going into defense. You talk about staples and Campbell's soup, stuff that's predictable.
Utilities as well. What about that sector, Don? Are the Utes worthy of a bid here?
Yes, you're right. Historically, seasonality is very strong for the Utes right through until the end of June. So
I want to interrupt you, John. I want to interrupt you, John, Don. So you're telling me that the phenomenon I'm witnessing is because of seasonal impact. Jack, you're going to say it's got to do with inflation and interest rates. Who's
exactly
right?
I think it's both. I think the economic cycle is lining up with the seasonal cycle right now.
Okay. Don, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. When often you can tie these things to fundamentals. So for example, in the case of the utility industry, the utilities in the States are building out their operations to look after the next generation of...
The EV?
EV play. So that's starting to appear in the stock market as
that's
well.
That's interesting. So I got to respect that. Because we picked up a stock, and you're going to laugh, Don, and I don't even know the name of the company. The symbol is ES, and it is a transmission business. It's an American transmission business. The fundamentals look sound. The chart looks amazing. When you're bored, John, or Don, if you can't even right now, just for fun, and the ES is the ticker. Meta, Amazon, NVIDIA. Let's also talk about Microsoft, Don. And you have Meta and Microsoft highlighted on your Thursday report. Technically speaking, with the technical break of a couple of their moving averages, where's the next level of support? Do you think it holds? Or do you think it breaks it to get a good shakeout and a re-rating reset of the space?
Yeah, I think you're onto something here. You need these securities to show signs of support. We haven't seen it yet. In the middle of this week, we saw these stocks getting hit because of the report by Meta. And so wait, if you want to go into these sectors, wait until they kind of consolidate at lower levels. And there's a good reason for doing that, too. For example, Apple has their big development conference in the middle of June. And so historically, Apple has bottomed sometime in the middle of May, and it's gone higher right through until the middle of June.
Isn't that interesting? Because that stock is one that's been smashed. It's 160 and change. The peak on it, what, 220, I'm guessing? I don't know, something like that. It's had a great correction. And it looks to me loosely, I don't have the chart in front of me, Don, like a double or triple bottom on that stock. It's trying to dig its heels in at these levels. Do you think it will?
Yeah, there's a very good chance that you get a recovery between now and the middle of June when the next development conference is being held by Apple.
Okay, we had a psychic on, Don, towards the end of the year. So we had you on, and the week later we brought a psychic on just to see if you were right. no, she was great. It was just for fun. But, why not? We have fun on the show. That's it. And she actually positioned herself as an intuition expert. Now, that's different than a psychic because intuition is, I think, a pretty powerful force. Nonetheless, the AI theme has been driving the market's enthusiasm, I'm going to guesstimate, for 12 months, maybe
18
months. Okay.
18, yep.
18 months on the AI theme, which has certainly helped the likes of Microsoft. But again, technical break in Microsoft, and that is one of the highest quality businesses out there, but valuation is valuation, and sentiment is sentiment. And when they love it, they love it. When they don't, they don't. I just want to ask you, Don, where do you think Softy could bottom out at? The stock right now is around, what, 390, 380, let's say, give or take. Broke the 400 level. What do you think she comes in?
Yeah, what you want to do is watch for the stock to form a little bit of a base pattern between now and about the middle of May, and that'll set up the possible upswing right through until June. So it's just not quite there yet. We're still getting the breakdown like a knife scenario. These stocks will bottom out fairly soon.
Okay, now I want to pivot over to another question. This is so important.
Okay.
We had a big reaction from the bond market this week. The GDP data came in softer than expected, so the economy is slowing down. That talk of recession years ago probably doesn't come in, but the slowdown in the economy is a good thing for the central bank. However, there's an inflation data within the GDP data. We're going to get more data coming out as the week unfolds. Today is Thursday, of course. The show is being recorded. Inflation remains sticky. Market sold off on that news. I'm watching the 30-year bond, most important. I don't know why, because I trade the TLT a little bit, which is a 20-year plus bond. And it's flirting with 4.83-ish. Jack, you had a 5 handle in your head as to where you think it goes to. You're getting pretty close.
Maybe it doesn't get there, Wolf.
Well, I think it does get there. I think it's going through that number. The TLT low on the last cycle was about 82, Don. The TLT is about 88. So my question is, do you think bond yields push higher than they have already this cycle, or do you think there's a top end, they're going to flirt with that top and not get through that top? Or flip it around, the TLT. Do you think the TLT 82 holds, or do you think it actually goes through it to the downside?
It's a good question, because there's a very important economic data point coming out on Friday, and that'll kind of set the stage for the direction for bond prices going forward for the next little while. Also, remember, next week we have the FOMC meeting, and they'll be giving you some ideas on what's going to happen with interest rates in the United States.
Policy being set? Is policy being set? The rate policy?
They're not expected to do anything, but yes, they have a meeting.
And what day is that meeting? Is it 2 days?
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday,
so Wednesday will be the announcement?
The key is to watch what happens up here in Canada. More and more we're hearing from the Bank of Canada that they're anxious to start to reduce rates. Now, that has a very positive scenario for one very important sector in Canada. It's called the financial service industry. And historically, it's been interesting, the banks and financial service sector has a period of seasonal strength from July to October of each year. And it's getting lined up that it's looking like it's going to follow whatever the Bank of Canada does. If they start to lower interest rates here in Canada, look for that financial service sector stocks to boom on the upside.
Don Vilo, he's a great guy, is what he is. He's an author. He writes a daily blog called Tech Talk. He is a certified market technician, the former president, actually, of the Canadian Society of Technical Analysts. Sharing with us his wisdom. It is wisdom. This man has experience in the name of what, 5 or 6 decades. My good friends, with experience comes money. That's what the show's all about, helping you have more of it. It's a wonderful process. It's a wonderful journey. Jack and I love what we do, and we do a very, very good job. Don't take my word for it. We publish our work, WolfgangKlein.com, TheWolfOnBayStreet.com. If you have any questions, reach out to us. We're here for you. This show is about you. So turn up your radio, fill up your glasses. I'm going to take a quick break and get right back to Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. Boredom overtook us, and he began to speak.
You know, my friends, loaded with wisdom. Truly is. Just listen to the song. Listen to Kenny. Hey.
What the cards were by
right
the
there.
Way
Kenny knows.
Well, you got to know when to walk and when to run. And I'll tell you something, my friends. Jack and I ran last week. We sold tech hard. Now, I tell you, it's not easy, because when you're sitting there with a lot of cash, it sounds okay, you're good, but I got to put it to work too. So it's a game of chess, and it's a continuous game of chess. It never ends. Unless, of course, you lose all your money, and that's not what we do in this business. But I tell you, as Kenny said, he learned to make a living by watching people's faces. I've learned to make a living by watching stock charts. And you know who's great at it? Don Vilo. But is it true, John? Truly, it's all in the chart if you're willing to accept it.
Definitely. Often what you think from a rational point of view, what actually happens on the charts are completely different.
Honestly, encore for that state. It's so true. We had a client, Jack. You know what I'm talking? Jack got a big smile on his face right now. But we had a client. He used to call, I don't get it. I don't understand. The earnings came out and they smashed and the stock went down. What's going on? Something's wrong. It's rigged. No, it was discounted. That's what the market does. It looks forward, and it does it so... Again, they say a crystal ball's hogwash. I say the market's a brilliant crystal ball, and it's in the charts.
I will say, Wolf, you sold. You didn't just sell. You booked a lot of profit. So,
yep.
Kenny, talk about Kenny. You took a stack of chips off the table. You'll redeploy them. But like you said, you base it on probabilities. Took a lot of profit.
Jack, come on. I wrote my note to clients, Don. I said, NVIDIA up 100% in 3 months after the move it's had in the last couple of years. You know, when they sell it, they're going to sell it hard.
And they're still great companies, Wolf. But they're still great companies.
They are
but
great
not
companies.
Investments at these levels.
But isn't it interesting, Don, that the generals, let's talk about sectors and then generals within the sectors. And an old saying, Dennis Gartman used to talk about this very, very well. He used to say they take the generals down last. Jack, you're a military person, right? You got to protect the general. But if all the soldiers been shot, you're standing alone.
I would say you don't want the general on the field, Wolf. And when he falls, yeah, that's
you don't want the general in the field.
No, he's out in the back directing traffic, making decisions, strategic planning.
Well,
if he's on the field and he's down, you got a problem.
Yeah, but I view NVIDIA as in general, and NVIDIA is certainly out in the field doing his AI thing.
100%. He's a leader. Right?
It is a leader.
Yep. And when it falls, it's trouble.
But it's interesting, Don, because with the semiconductors, you saw AMD break. You saw Lam begin to break its 50-day. ASML was getting a little toppy. But NVIDIA was holding and holding and holding. And then, boom, one day, down about 11%. And I just find that quite remarkable how the general falls last. But you get clues as to when to exit the general if you pay attention, I guess, to the soldiers. Expand upon that.
What if I told you there's a new general in the crowd that's just kind of starting to come alive in a very interesting sort of way? I'm referring to particularly the Chinese market. On Wednesday of this last week, the FXI, which is the iShares for China, completed what they call a reverse head and shoulders pattern, which is the bullish technical pattern you can see on the charts. Now, that reason that's important for Canadians is that Canadians sell a lot of things to China. If China's starting to recover finally, then companies are selling things like
copper
and zinc and nickel and fertilizer, and all these things are going to start to show some really good...
Because copper's had a great... Like, the copper stocks this week have been on fire, Don. I ask you why.
Well, because the demand for copper is starting to increase in places like China.
That's it. There's the link right there. That's interesting, because I thought it was, again, just a play out of the EV theme. But
it's funny, Wolf, because I talked to our analyst at Canaccord just yesterday, actually, and I was talking about copper. It's got a bid to it. People want it. And I said, is it because of China? And he said, no, it's still terrible in China. And then you look at the chart, just like Don says,
bingo.
Broke out. My point is,
bingo.
The fundamental analyst is behind
the curve.
The market.
Yeah. That's why the market is a forward discounting looking. This is a great, great point, Jack. Silver, Don, also has a bit to it. I'm going to ask you why. And Jack and I spoke to another analyst, and we'll share with you his opinion. I'm curious about your opinion. Why do silver names have a bit of a bid to them right now?
Yeah, it's technically is acting very well, wants to break to new highs. It's also related to currencies. If you look at silver relative to
gold,
the Canadian dollar, for example, then you've done even better. This is something to watch very carefully, because the Canadian dollar, since the beginning of January to now, has gone from 76 cents to 73 cents in U.S. dollar terms.
Mm-hmm.
What that is going to mean is that any company that's selling production
in
the United States is going to see a very, very strong first quarter earnings report.
Because
when they come out.
Very, that's right, because they're going to receive U.S. dollars and convert them into our pesos and do very, very well. That's very interesting. It's funny, I just saw it's probably marking the bottom of the Canadian dollar. My sense probably a low is in here, I'm guessing. Anecdotally, through social media, because some person put a post on social media about a Canadian dollar you know, i.e. how low can it go? So when you see the mainstream talk about it, I said 50 cents just for fun, but it's not going to 50 cents. Hey, what about gold and gold equities? I hate gold equities, Don. I set the table on that front. You know, Newmont, Bear, complete disasters. Agnico Eagle, yeah, that wants to work, but if I buy it, it'll roll. I guarantee it. Franco-Nevada's got its issues with First Quantum. It's such a messy, sloppy space. Gold's, you know, 22 hundo, I think maybe 24 to the upside. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm just guesstimating based on a bit of work I've done on the commodity. What do you think, Don?
Yeah, gold's, as well as a lot of these other commodities, are catching a nice bid. It's just not gold. It's silver, it's copper, it's crude oil, it's gasoline. If it's a commodity, it's starting to catch a bid on the upside.
Interesting. Yeah, we own some uranium, some Cameco. Yes. But that's been so well highlighted. Again, one of my mentors thinks it's probably just a little too exuberant. He was highlighting one uranium company that's not even producing, but they're marketing the bejeebies out of their brand. And he said, what a waste of shareholders' money to be marketing when you don't even have a product yet to market. Get your product on the table and then start talking about marketing. It's sort of asinine to promote their stock more than they're, I think, focusing on their business. You got to be careful for that. Companies just hype up their stock as opposed to focus on the business of the day. Canadian outperforming. Canadian outperforming. You mentioned at the close of the last segment. I've been negative on Canada. We're very underweight Canada. When they want commodities, Canada works. When commodities are out of favor, it doesn't work. Year to date, Canadian market up about 4 and change. The Dow is even. The S&P is up about 6 and change. So Canada's sort of holding its weight. It's not massively underperforming, and it's not shooting the lights out of the park yet. So I throw it to you, Don. For the year, do you think Canada actually outperforms U.S., or does U.S. ultimately beat Canada on the calendar?
What you want to do is be very selective in the sectors that you're buying in Canada.
Yeah,
things
I agree.
Like the commodities are probably going to do very, very well over the next couple of months. Then you get into the summertime, there's another sector that does very well, and that's the financial service sector.
You mentioned that, yeah. So you're okay with the banks, or so some of the banks?
Yeah, so you can rotate from one sector to the other as these start to show.
And let's talk oil, by the way, Don. Again, commodities are so tough. The right way to buy commodities is not the way I buy them. You got to buy them when they really hate them and they're really out of favor. You get great upside, but you can be wrong and sitting on dead money for a period of time. Alternatively, when they get into gear, you can buy them. And that's what I do. It's sort of easier because you got a bit of a trend that you can work off of to get some levels to cut your loss and to let it run. But you know, a lot of the juice has been missed at that point in the cycle. Let me ask you, Don, the oils, the likes of Imperial Oil, CNQ, ARC, you know, the Canadian darlings, or if you want to talk about the U.S. giants, you can talk about that as well. But is there more in them? Do you think we're going to, or you know, where are we in the oil cycle is what I want to get to.
Yeah, we've had a huge run in that sector during the last few months. On a seasonal basis, historically, the Canadian energy sector reaches a very important peak right around the beginning of June. So be aware of that.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, June, eh?
Yeah, many of your clients have probably got some very good profits in that sector.
No, we don't. No, I'm skinny oil. I don't have a lot of it. I just put on a small position recently. Now, we do in the United States in our quant strategy, and that's funny, Don. Our quant strategy forced me into some oils. My own personal bias keeps me away from oils. So my quant strategy, we have Marathon Petroleum. We had Phillips 66. We have Valero.
EOG, I think.
I think we traded that one. So we've done well there. Like Marathon Petroleum has been a great trade. We just bought some Pioneer Natural Resources from a technical point of view. So that looks quite interesting. And I'm going to keep that June in mind.
Part of that oil trade, Wolf, is I think the slow transition into electric vehicles. You're seeing it with Tesla. There's saturation in that market and people are realizing that, you know, we still need these barrels of oil to run our economy.
You know, it's amazing. I came across a fellow who is going back to Africa, Nigeria, and he's going to be working on a lithium mine. It's a greenfield project. And again, it's funny, he said there's a major energy shortage. in Africa, and they're demanding more energy. But to get that energy, I don't care how green it will become, ultimately they're going to spend a lot of money on fossil fuel to get there. And that is the predicament. America, North, and the Western world is trying to consume less and go greener, but the developing world, China included, is ramping up its consumption of crude. And the world today consumes about 101 million barrels per day. It's phenomenal number. Don Wheeler,
notice what's happening here in Canada. There's something very important. The pipeline to the West Coast is finally filled, and we're going to start shipping oil beginning in May. So that's going to be very positive for some of the large Canadian oil producers.
The pipes woke up, because Pembina and Enbridge look a lot better. Even the transmissions in the United States, Energy Transfer Partners, looks really, really strong, Don. Do you think that trade continues?
Yeah, well, on a seasonal basis, the sector does okay until the end of June, but you can still be selective in that area. But look at buying Canadian energy stocks as opposed to U.S. energy stocks.
Well, Enbridge, Pembina, obviously Canadian distribution companies. Yeah.
Long term, that's a good story for Canada. We always got a discount, the differential, because we only have one place where we actually sell our crude.
America.
Yeah, now we've got multiple sources.
Hopefully so European market.
You get better differentials, better prices,
better
productivity.
Profits.
Yeah, for Canada. That's what you want.
And better profit.
Absolutely.
For the company. Don Wheeler, a real pleasure, my friend. Thank you. We are going to bring on Martin Roberge. He is our quant strategist from our very own Canaccord Genuity. I love Martin. And, we'll get his view on the market as we get pretty much near the halfway mark, do you believe? We're still in the front nine, but we're getting close to that ninth hole. And, the back nine's going to be fun, too. And we're going to help you get through the entire course, my good friends. Worry not. You have a friend in Wolf and Jack. Stay tuned. Stand by. More show right after this.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. That could be you, Martin. Hey, right there, could be you. Hey, and we will not get fooled again.
Yeah.
I think Roger Daltrey turned 80. Figure. I was a huge fan of the Who. I saw every one of their final concerts. Big stadium, 50,000 people, C&E grounds. It was great. I can't remember what band opened for them. I always forget the name of the band. They got booed off the stage. I felt so sorry for them. It was a classic, iconic Toronto music history scene when that band got... I cannot remember that band. If anyone can email me the name of that band, they got booed off the stage. Tell you what, you will get yourself a free Wolf on Bay Street prize package. Okay? Martin Roberge, Managing Director, North American Portfolio Strategist at Canaccord. Since 2011. Wow. I remember when you began the firm, Martin, 2 years after Jack and I joined the firm, and we were just coming out of a bear market. Financial crisis was over. Market was showing some strength, but there were some clouds in the sky. Remember that? And you had a good gauge of that, And then, of course, you had the European debt crisis, and negative yielding bonds began, and...
QE.
People don't know what that is. That's an acronym. I only want to come to Saturday night. We don't want to talk QE, QT. That's on the QT stock. No. People got a beer in their hand and a glass of wine if they're fortunate. And they want to make some money. And that's what this show is all about. Sell in May, go away. We talked to Don Wheeler in our last segment. He's a seasonal advisor, trader. He's a retired man, actually, but he publishes. And he actually was working, still running an ETF, I believe. But he spoke about the biotech conference coming up in June. He says biotechs will get a bit of a bid, seasonally speaking, for that reason. Utilities look interesting in here. They tend to do okay in the summer months. And even Apple, which has been left for dead, could perhaps get a bit of a bounce in here again from its business conference coming up in the month of June. Certainly is some hope. What's working in Canada or on the board? Oil, copper, some of the metals. Silver looks interesting. Some of the golds look interesting. But Martin, Jack and I are going to share this with you, and you're close to home. We took cash levels last week, Martin, in our growth and quant strategy to 50%. I said 50. We sold We sold the Magnificent Seven to zero, well, to one. How's that? Wow. And we've been buying soup and nuts, baby. Campbell's soup, little toothpaste with Colgate, some Orville Redenbacher, just so we can watch the movie from the sidelines. Conagra Brands, I think it is. Yeah, it's been interesting. Lots of rotation going on. We still got a lot of cash. I just want to find a home for it. But if you want my opinion, you're going to get it anyways, even if you don't. Market looks lower to me. I think we're halfway there to some support. And it is a bull market out there. But within a bull market, you get these cyclical corrections. Market's had a fantastic run off of its lows 18 months ago. Bit of a pause in order, bit of rotation in order. Signs of stagflation, that'd be terrible. When will the Fed lower interest rates? We'll know more next week. A lot to talk about, Martin. I just want to, again, I'm just trying to set the table with some of my loose thoughts and perhaps lean on you to, make some music with it, or, well, you're French, cook something. Here are the ingredients. Now cook me something, my friend. That's what cooking school is all about. You show up with 19 ingredients, and all right, that's what we're going to work with, those 19 ingredients. So there you go, Martin. I gave you some ingredients. Make me something to eat.
VROs?
Sure. Why not? I'm throwing a lot of stuff on the table. Stuff that's working, stuff that's not working. General level of markets pointing lower. Based on your quant work, where do you think we are for the calendar year? Short, midterm, and take us through. How does the year play out, in your opinion?
Yeah, the year... The year is playing out as one where we are observing out there the possibility of growth and inflation being stronger than expected, maybe for the balance of the year, and this is causing the rotation shifts that you just talked about towards areas that had been shunned because of low global growth. Now, growth has been okay in the U.S., stronger than expected, but we're seeing green shoots of growth improving in the rest of the world, and that was the missing ingredient for the rotation. So I think what we're seeing is a healthy rotation into the more cyclical areas of the market, because now we've got the backstop from the global economy that we may be beginning a manufacturing cycle.
It's interesting you say that, because Don Velo pointed out the turn in China, the FXI, as a leading indicator. So you're saying that having now some global growth is an ingredient that will actually give you some support for a reasonable economy. But all of that works against the central bank lowering interest rates. The market's been waiting for rates to come down.
Yeah, but the rates will come down only if we have signs that employment conditions are softening, because this is one of the reasons why inflation has been sticky. Wage inflation is not coming down fast enough because
Correct.
Growth is too fast.
And this week we saw strong inflation, strong employment data again.
Strong employment data, but we know that the central banks are now prioritizing growth, like they're favoring growth over inflation. So we know that they have an easing bias, and there's a risk of what we call excessive reflation or hyperreflation, like too much stimulus could be eventually an outcome. And the thing about global stocks or even stocks in Canada, they're a hedge against not only governments around the world spending because of a record high of a number of elections around the world. So they're going to be spending this year. And at the same time, as soon as we get to see some moderation in the labor market conditions, we know that the central banks will be cutting rates. And this is something that we will likely see in later this year. But we could have like a scenario where you have government spending and central banks cutting rates. And that is obviously
that'd be strong.
Bank.
Wow. Martin, we have to take a quick break. They got to pay my big fat salary. So let them do that. And we're going to get back with Martin Roberge for our closing comments on how we can make money this year. We've been making money for clients. We've been having a great year. And again, if you're unhappy with who you're working with, check out our website. I know we can certainly help. That's what we're here for. Take a quick break. Get back to Hi-Fi Radio 640 Toronto.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. See, that song just sings to, my generation anyways. When we used to, when we were 17 and we would go outside. Today, they're inside on their phones. Oh my goodness me, they got to get outside. You got to get outside. People in motion, my friends, come in contact with people in motion and people at rest. They remain at rest. I can't stress that point enough. Martin Roberge, good friend of mine. He's our managing director at Canaccord, North American portfolio strategist. He looks at all asset classes. He looks at all markets and tries to bring it together to help us on a risk-adjusted basis make some money. Interesting times, Martin, I must say. And, I'm a momentum guy, and the more I just pay attention to the what the market is telling me, the better I do. Listening and chatting and front page and it can really and thinking can really wreak havoc with your money. It truly can. Just trading what you see is what I try to do. What do you see? And just execute that. And I'll tell you, Martin, my manager gave me a really good piece of advice, and I'll just share it with you. He said, "Well, if you're looking at a chart, you're better off to take the name away. Don't even look at the name. Just look at the chart and say, do you like it or don't you like it? You'll probably trade better." Biases, they can kill you. They truly can kill you. And, there's some Canadians out there who have this bias. I don't believe in RSPs. I don't want to play an RSP because you have to pay tax on it. And it's an incorrect bias. And yet they stick to these biases. And it's not good. We must adapt. We must change. If you're educated, be educated. I learned this when I was in radio. Education without action is entertainment. So if you get educated and learn something new, try it. Try it. It's how you learn. Once again, Martin, I'm giving you some ingredients to work with here, things that you've learned recently that you find interesting, the market at hand, what do you find intriguing in here, the rotation that's taking place, you can speak about that. Please, Martin Roberge, over to you.
The first thing, like if you start from the top to the bottom, like I think international equities, like stocks like outside the U.S. have been shunned by investors for so many years. I think there's still a catch-up trade underway. And again, the green light was just better growth conditions in the world. And we're seeing green shoots globally of better manufacturing activity. So international equities would be the starting point. Second,
if I may ask you, Asia versus Europe, Europe over Asia. And then I mentioned China at the beginning based on what Don Velo said, the FIXI, the FXI, turning the corner. I know you often speak about the EEMs. Yep. So Europe versus Asia, start there, and then how would you get specific at all in that?
Yeah, I would probably go now more Asia and EMs versus EFI. And the reason is that the valuation of the emerging market indexes is way, way, way more attractive than that of the DM or the European and Japanese equities, which have done extremely
Japan
well.
That has been an interesting, because one of my buddies thinks Japan will be the star of the year.
It's done already extremely well. It's a well-known outperformer. I would try to favor the laggards, not so much the winners, at least for the time being, because it seems like the market is providing a pause, allowing investors to re-rate their expectations towards maybe those areas that have lagged. And those areas are providing a valuation margin of safety than some winners are no longer providing us with. So, and within that bucket, I think, and I know I've heard you in the past, like being very cautious, Canada,
I think there's a major opportunity for Canada to re-rate. We are seeing our Canadian bonds being bought by global investors, but at the same time, those
really?
Investors are if you look at Canadian bond yields, they're trading a full point
below
U.S. Treasury bond yields. So,
well, they're losing money in the loonie if they
no, that's the point, Wolf. They look globally. They're buying right now the loonie with a lower rate on the actual bonds. What are they expecting? Yeah. They're expecting the currency to appreciate.
But it's gone forward. Against them. They're losing on that trade is what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying right now is they're buying at these levels, expecting global growth to continue to benefit, and that should help the loonie, is what he's saying.
Right.
And this is it doesn't make any sense that global investors are hugging Canadian bonds but shining Canadian equities. So I think there's an arbitrage at play where Canada, the stocks being so globally geared, is a nice way to hedge against governments overspending and creating like another maybe inflation scare, which will impact positively commodities.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of those stocks in our market. And at the same time, as a hedge of a potential stagflation environment, we've got high dividend yielders that just got hammered because of the increase in bond yields. But I sense that we're near the top in the bonds. I was cautious a few months ago, but now recently I added a bit of duration. And if we see just like bond yield stabilizing, we're going to see probably the bond proxies in Canada doing better. So this is a good barbell. So Canada provides that barbell that no other markets provide out there. So I really like Canada.
So again, it's 30 seconds to repeat. What sectors of Canada do you like?
Energy, materials, pipelines, utilities, and telcos.
And telcos that are making 52-week lows or forming a bottom, perhaps. Interesting. I'm watching BCE at $42, $43. Stock is trading at a 15-year low, give or take. Not factoring the dividend, of course. It might turn, but those U.S. telcos are still cheaper. That's what's on the back burner. Oil. Martin, I'm going to warn you. I'm not great at making money with oil. I'm not. And I recently bought lightly a few of our oil names again. Trying again. I bought some ARC. I bought some Imperial. I bought some CNQ. And so far, I'm flat on the name. Don Velo, our last guest, said oil has a seasonal run into about the month of June. Then she pulls back. Do you think I'm going to make some money this round on oil? Or, again, did I pick those Canadian names up late?
You know what? The easy money has been made probably for the year, okay? But this is probably a multi-month, if not multi-year, cycle of outperformance that we have in front of us. So I would be using pullbacks, and there will be pullbacks, to make sure that at least you've got a full weight, a full position in these names. The market will give you some opportunities to scale in, but this is probably the beginning of a, especially if I'm right and actually you've done it, you've sold your tech exposure. Historically, when this is energy is the barbell, the other side of the barbell, if tech money start to rotate into other areas of the market, the prime beneficiary is usually like all the energy and the commodity producers. So you've got to try to have at least like a full position there, and then, as I said, like if you allow me just to talk about utilities, who's going to power all those data centers? You need electricity. Okay, and those companies eventually will, you know, enjoy a lot of pricing power because you need electricity to power the data centers driven by the AI boom. So
we own Eaton, and I'm watching ABB, and we picked up an energy transfer company. ES is the name of the company, or this is the ticker. That's been working. So the energy, the EV, the electrification, the regridding, that theme remains in play. It's the Magnificent Seven, of course, the NVIDIAs, the Microsofts, the Amazon. They are heavy. Not over. It is a bull market, but time to pause, perhaps. Who knows? We are out of time. Martin Roberge, our Managing Director, North American Portfolio Strategist, live from Montreal. My friend, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you. Merci All beaucoup. Right. Friends at home, thank you. Any questions for Jack or I, the Wolf on Bay Street.com, WolfgangKlein.com. We're here for you. If you're unhappy, we can perhaps make you very happy. Give us a call. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Harthill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio. For the love of money. Join us again next week. The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.